Welcome back to Inside the Wit. I am Josh Shaw, joined always by Andrew Gardner.
How are we doing, Josh?
Andrew, we are not alone today.
We're not alone. We got our first guest on the show.
You know, I'm not a man of the sea or the water, Andrew, but when I was a child, I would go fishing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a five-year-old again when I would catch a sunfish. But now I feel like it's a marlin because we got Mike Lowry, the UNH hockey czar. For those unaware, Mike is a longtime UNH hockey fan, a retired psychologist. He's been covering the team since 2011 on his blog and his Twitter, UNH Men's Hockey Blog. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So you are the recruiting king of this team. So we figured we'd have you on to kind of talk about that and go through it.
That sounds good. I won't accept the title of king, however. it's one of the things I am interested in addition to the team itself.
Prince, do you accept Prince or no?
Pardon me?
Prince, is that on the table?
Good. Okay.
Before we do that, though, we'll just kind of hit the transfer portal real quick for the listeners. So there's been some people leaving and coming. Confirmed outgoing, Eric Esposito is headed to Mercyhurst. On the other hand, Jackson Pearson, Carson Rickles, Lucas Herrmann, and Alex Mendel are all in the portal. None have officially transferred anywhere, Andrew, but, you know, I'm not sure how many of them will be back.
I mean, the only big one there, obviously, is Pearson. I mean, the other guys, I think three of them combined for 1 point all year. Herrmann had an assist at some point of the year. Smendel played one game. Rickles, I don't think, has recorded a point yet in his UNH career. So, I mean, not much to say on the other guys there.
Mike, any outside of Pearson, any thoughts on how big this impact might be?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that the folks who want to transfer probably are looking for more playing time. And as you pointed out, they hadn't accumulated a whole lot of points, although they've all played and they've all played very hard. I do agree with you. The biggest loss will be Jackson Pearson. It's not really a loss in the sense that he's a graduating senior, but because he has an extra year of eligibility, he could choose to stay. But he's entered the transfer portal. And my understanding is that just because he's entered the transfer portal does not mean that he would not return for a fifth season at UNH. The decision is completely up to him. Well, not completely up to him. It's up to him, but the coach apparently has the option of keeping an open slot for any of the people who enter the transfer portal in the event that the player is not able to find another program and decides to return.
Yeah, I think you're right on that front.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if Jackson was like, hey, Coach Souza, I kind of want to come back, he'd be like, yeah, I'd be fine with that. I know I told you how I saw Jackson at Fried a couple weekends ago. This Saturday night, saw him again downtown Durham. So who knows? He might be sticking. He's still in the area.
Mike, what do you think his market could be? I don't want to linger on this too much, but I'm just curious what your take is. Do you think we're talking like a mid-level school? Because UNH is obviously lower tiered given their recent success. But where do you think he could possibly end up if he goes anywhere?
Well, I was actually surprised that he wasn't named as an all-star this year in Hockey East. He was last year. And you know, I think that his play this year certainly warranted another selection as an all-star. So I think that makes him an important get for any of the programs, even the elite programs. My understanding, he's from Indiana, and my understanding from various sources is that his parents would like to see him play in person more often. So places like Ohio State, Notre Dame, you know, may be in play. I have no idea personally, right. But I think that any of the top programs would welcome him because he's such a unique, tenacious two-way player.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the other end, if we're also with those guys, defenseman Jack Babich from Quinnipiac, defenseman and early name of the year contender Nico DeVita, and forward Ryan Black from D3 Babson are coming to UNH this fall, we believe.
Mm-hmm.
Black is a really big player of these three. He's the most seasoned. Spent 4 years with Babson, was a point-per-game player nearly every season besides his first season, I believe. Last year, 39 points in 27 games played. He'll be a graduate student and will slot right in on one of the first three lines, I would assume.
Yeah.
Ingaris's departure or you know, so many other guys too.
Yeah, we'll see where he kind of slides in. Mike, I wanted to ask you, just because you know you've been familiar with the team a little bit longer than we have you ever seen a transfer from a Division III school up to UNH?
I do not remember one. That's an excellent question. I really have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at his stats. I mean, they're very impressive. And funny story about Black. So I played hockey in high school. And
we all play high school, Andrew.
We did all play. I would hope so. He was a year ahead of me, and he's from Connecticut too. And he ended up like not going to prep school right away, and he played public high school hockey in Connecticut. And the year that his team won the state championship, my team was number two. Didn't get to play them that year, but I was looking at his stats, and I remember just how big his name was. He had 88 points in 23 games.
Oh my God.
An unbelievable number. And I remember, you know, this kid, and, you know, for a kid at a public Connecticut, you know, D3 level to go D3 college, like even that was a big deal. And he's obviously developed his game pretty nicely at Babson. So I think he's going to be a nice fit. He's a bigger guy. I believe he's over 6 feet tall. So,
yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, I feel as if the gap between D3 and D1 has closed a little bit. And, you know, I don't have any, you know, worries that he'll have any trouble sliding in.
Yeah, I'm looking for, well, I won't be here, but
you'll be watching.
I'll be watching on Nesson here and there. Yeah.
And ESPN Plus now.
That's whoops, my bad. So in total, looking at about 7 players going to go professional this year from the last senior class. One has left for another school in Esposito. 4 others looking for other schools. That's 12 holes total. But with the 3 transfers and the 5 likely commits, which we're going to talk about today, that brings us down to 4 spots available on the roster per my calculations. Hopefully I'm right. I'm not a math major, so we'll see. So let's get into the recruits and the commitments and everything that is the portal. Not the portal. I don't know.
Not the portal. The portal. just the commits.
The commits. Mike, my first question. How much you know about Young Boy Never Broke Again?
Sadly, nothing, I think. I'm assuming sadly.
I mean, I'm not a fan personally, but Andrew would recommend you take a listen, apparently.
I think you and his main producer share the same name. So I just thought that was really funny.
What about the bad boys, Mike Lowry?
I don't know if you had a little side gig going there, but
jokes aside though, how do you figure who might be coming to UNH with the national letter of intent?
Well, that's a good question. As it stands right now, there are 10 players, 10 young players who have signed the national letter of intent with UNH. As you guys probably know, before a young player signs a national letter of intent, they verbally commit to whatever college program they want to play for. That verbal commitment usually is a verbal agreement between the coaches and the player that an athletic scholarship will be offered if the player agrees to come join the program. However, the verbal agreement is just that, a verbal agreement. At any point after the player makes a verbal commitment, either the player or the coaches can decide that, well, it's just not going to work out for a variety of reasons, and the commitment can be ended, sometimes called a decommitment. So in terms of what I'm familiar with, the young players who would love to play at UNH or any other college program and are being recruited by all kinds of college programs, I have no idea who those guys are, who those young players are. It's a closely held secret, I'm sure, at all of the colleges with the coaching staff, not letting anyone know who they're out there recruiting. So I have no idea who's interested in playing at UNH or who the coaches are interested in having play at UNH until a verbal commitment is made. That's the first public indication of who might be coming to UNH in the future.
Right.
So there are, right now, there are, oh my gosh, I think we're up to like 20 or so players, young players who have committed, either verbally or the 10 that we're talking about, who have signed a national letter of intent. The national letter of intent is a binding agreement. The university commits to providing at least 1 year of a athletic scholarship to the player. And the player commits to play at least one season with the college that the national letter of intent is signed with. So once that written agreement is done, it's very unusual for the commitment to somehow fall apart. I'm not familiar with hardly any cases where that's happened. There have been cases where a player who signed a national letter of intent wanted to leave. This was a Hockey East school, and this happened several years ago. And the coach said, "I'm sorry, but we want you to come," and did not back away from that position. And the player ended up going and actually playing quite well for the team. But he was obliged to go because he had signed the national letter of intent. So we've got a pool of 10 players who have signed the national letter of intent. I can rattle them off real quickly. We'll probably talk about, I think we're going to talk about five of them in detail.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm just going to rattle them off from the oldest to the youngest. There's a fellow named Cade Penny. He's a defenseman. Kristoff Skrastens, who's a forward. Jake Dunlap, who's a forward. Morgan Winter's a forward. You got Cy Leclerc, another forward. Damian Carfagna.
What a name.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
Oh, it's terrific.
It took me a while to figure out how they pronounce that name. I watch a lot of the games on Hockey TV, because Hockey TV covers all of the junior hockey leagues. And I figured out how they pronounced his name primarily by listening to the play-by-play guys. There's some more. Another J.P. Turner, another freshman. I mean, not another freshman. Another
incoming player.
Stephen Sardarian, Brendan Fitzgerald, defenseman, and Tyler Musilek, goalie.
You nailed them all, Mike.
Beautiful.
There you go. So I think the way to think of it is that the coaches have a pool of 10 players who could be part of the incoming class next year, because all of them have signed a national letter of intent. Now, the other caveat is that when you sign a national letter of intent, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to come in the next season after you've signed the national letter of intent. So it's conceivable that some of these players who have signed a national letter of intent, it's possible that they would not come in and play next year. They would come in and play the year after. But that's a decision between the coaches and the players. So, but we have 10, and I thought we'd talk about five to begin with. And the reason I chose the five I chose for today are the oldest four. These are all guys that were born in the birth year 2001. So Cade Penny, Kristoff Skrastens, Jake Dunlap, and Morgan Winters. Now, the reason I chose those four is that following the end of this season, they're all playing junior hockey. At the end of this season, they will have used up all of their eligibility years. You're only allowed to play junior hockey until you're at the age of 20. So all of the birth year guys that are in 2001, this is their last year of junior hockey. There's no place else to go after the end of this season other than to college. So I think it's highly likely that those four will end up being part of the freshman class next year. The fifth one I thought we'd talk about is one that I'm fairly certain will come. It's the youngest player, Tyler Musilek, who's an extraordinarily skilled goalie. I think he's likely to come in because he's so skilled, but also there's the obvious opening for him with Mike Robinson having left.
I have a source from the inside that said that they expect next year Fessenden and Musilek to battle it out for the starting position. Okay, so okay. I think it's a pretty good chance that Musilek's going to be in next year.
Yes, I would anticipate that too. And it's good. They have very different styles, but are effective in very different ways.
So, Mike, what are your overall thoughts on the five of these players? What are we talking in terms of skill?
I have one question first for Mike. So are there only four roster spots left, or are there five?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's a fluid situation. Mm-hmm. Obviously a lot depends on how many transfers do come in, but the way roughly, I'm guessing that there are more than four. Let's see, I'm seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think there can be as many as 8 openings available.
Okay.
I think he's right, because forgot to include people like Drew Hickey in there who graduated.
Oh, right. Okay.
I was just including the ones where we know are confirmed gone. So
I was going to say, if, you know, I'm sure the team plans for this to obviously not happen, and I'm sure they'd get in some trouble if this did end up happening. But, you know, if there's 4 roster spots left and you got, you know, kids who've signed NLI deals and there's no spot for them, I would think that would be, you know, quite the stir up. But if there's spots for everyone, yeah, I would agree. I foresee all 5 of these guys coming next year.
Yeah, I think I'm assuming the coaches have some degree of flexibility. I mean, right now, this year's roster had 29 players on it. There may be some, I have no idea, but there may be some limited flexibility to add, for example, 1 more slot for next year. I have no idea. A lot of that, I think, depends on how they distribute the athletic scholarship money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I guess we'll just get into it. Cade Penny will start off the first one here. Where's he from? What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses?
All right, let me get on my little. I do know quite a bit of stuff. Well, in terms of detail, he's 5'11", 180 pounds. He's a right shot. I'm sorry, wrong one. All right, I had him on the bottom. All right.
Sorry. I do enjoy the rustling of paper, though. It is it's a sound that I enjoy thoroughly.
So professional, huh? Okay, I'm sorry. No, Cade Penny is 6 feet, 165. He's a right shot defenseman, which by and large is harder to come by right shot defenseman than it is left shot defenseman. Mm-hmm. He's going to turn 21 in December of next year. He's originally from White Rock, British Columbia. That's where he was born. Sometime in his teenage years, his family moved to Westchester, Pennsylvania, which is outside of Philadelphia. He committed to UNH back in February 2020 when he was 18 years old. At the time, he was playing for the New Jersey Titans, which is a team in the North American Hockey League. He currently plays for the Surrey Eagles, which is out in the British Columbia Hockey League. There've been a number of terrific players that have played in the British Columbia Hockey League who have played for UNH over the years. Mm-hmm. And as I said, he's playing in his last season of junior eligibility, and he signed his NLI. In terms of his skills, I'll talk a little bit about primarily the offensive skills. So far, he's had 1 goal in 48 games this year. So goal scoring is not necessarily his forte, but he is pretty decent at distributing assists. He's had a total of 12 assists in the last 48 games. And actually the season that he committed when he was playing back with New Jersey Titans, he had 24 assists. So he has the potential to be an offensive defenseman. I would say that all of the defensemen who may come in next year, whether it comes from the pool of recruits or the transfer guys that have indicated they're going to come in, they all have offensive upside, as they say.
I mean, I think that's something that Souza really likes. Heward was, you know, one of the top leading scorers on the team this year. Luke Reed had a bunch of goals.
Gagne kind of has power on both sides.
Yeah, Gagne, I would say, is more of a defensive defenseman, but I can definitely see that kind of that trend swinging in terms of, you know, the offensive side of the puck for these guys coming in.
Yeah, I've watched all of these guys play. I mean, once they make a verbal commitment, I start to follow the players and I watch them on Hockey TV. And I rely a lot on Neutral Zone, which is a scouting service that's available. Their specialty is evaluating young prospects who either want to go to college or play major junior in Canada. So what they've said about Cade Penny is he's an effective passer. He makes pretty good plays in the offensive zone. And I've seen him video. He's pretty good at joining the rush as well. Again, another thing that I think that most if not all of the defensemen on the current team and those that are coming in all have pretty decent ability to join the rush.
Right. So I guess we'll move on a little bit to Skarstens. He's the player that really caught my eye. 69 points in the NAHL with the Amarillo Wranglers, which leads the team by 18 points. He will be 21 when the season starts. Mike, would you just kind of go into depth about the Latvian here?
Oh, yeah. He's a fun player to watch. from Riga, Latvia. 5'11", 180. A right shot. He can play center or wing. He's a very, very talented player in all phases of the game. He's on their power. He plays for the Amarillo Wranglers, which, as you said, is in the North American Hockey League. He's on their first line most nights. He plays in their first power play unit. He plays shorthanded as well. And as you said, he scores a lot of goals. I think there's about 4 or 5 games left in the season, and he's already got 35 goals. And it's not just the goals, it's the nature of the goals. He's got 15 power play goals so far, which is first in the National North American Hockey League. And he's got 9 game-winning goals, which is also first in the North American Hockey League. So I think it's pretty clear that any team, but certainly UNH, could use as many goal scorers as they could find. And I think that Skarstens has the potential to be one of those. If there's such a thing as a pure goal scorer, he's a guy. He can score from every point in the offensive zone. He scores off the rush. And he also is a terrific playmaker because he's got 34 assists. Just a really fun guy to watch.
Andrew, you, I don't have too much on him. 3.7 star recruit. Listen, the one thing that stands out to me, which Mike mentioned, the power play goals, that was a pretty tough area for the team this past year.
Pretty tough, is put in a way.
They struggled on the power play all year this year. So, he seems to kind of find his bread and butter there. So, if he could slide into like the second unit next year and, do something there, I think that would be a huge plus.
Join a nice core too of youth with Devlin Cronin and all these other guys.
Yeah. Up.
In the games that I've seen play on the power play, he plays, they usually use an umbrella like most teams use. Mm-hmm. And he plays sort of the right wing on the umbrella. So he's in prime position to use his right shot to score some goals.
Moving on after Skarstens, it's a hard name. Jake Dunlap next on the list. Just a little bit about him, I suppose.
Yeah, Jake. I think he's going to be a contributor right off the bat. He's a 5'9", 170 pound left winger. He's from Windham, New Hampshire. So
let's go.
Yeah. He'll turn 21 in December. He committed to UNH just a few months ago in December. He's currently playing with the Madison Capitals in the United States Hockey League. An interesting thing about Jake is that a couple of years ago, he originally was committed to UMass Amherst. So UMass Amherst and he had a verbal commitment. But for whatever reason, that commitment fell through and he became available this year and UNH gobbled him up, if you will. He's played 3 seasons in junior hockey. He has a lot of potential to be a goal scorer, but also a playmaker. Now he's scored 24 goals and 21 assists in 54 games so far. And you look at 24 goals and you compare that to Skarstens, who's up in the 30s, and you say, oh, well, gee, it's unusual for anybody to score 30 goals in the United States Hockey League. This tends to be less scoring. So 24 goals in the U.S. Hockey League is very good, is very solid. Of the 28 goals that he's had 3 game winners. The interesting thing about him in terms of comparison, not necessarily style, but he had similar production as Robert Cronin did in his final season in the USHL when he played for Dubuque.
I was astonished by his plus 19 is is pretty radical in a league like the USHL.
Yes. And the interesting thing is that the plus minus, you only get awarded plus minus points when you're playing 5-on-5.
Right.
So, and in fact, the majority of his goals have come of 5-on-5, which that's the kind of player you want to have on your team. Certainly UNH could use someone like that, whether they're power scoring goals on the power play or even strength. I think one of the reasons that he'll succeed at this level is that he's really good between the dots, if you will, between the face-off dots in towards the goal. He spends a lot of time looking for open space in between the dots. Andrew, you'll remember a number of the interviews this year with Coach Souza, he focused on how important it is to create scoring opportunities between the dots in towards the goal, crashing the net, if you will.
Right. And that was like getting those second chance opportunities was something they struggled with all year, finding, you know, the pucks in front.
Yeah. Well, Jake Dunlop is particularly effective. He's not a big guy, but he's quick and he's really good at finding open spaces. He's also not, he doesn't shy away from the physical contact in order to gain position in the offensive zone.
He's got Go ahead.
Yeah, he's got a really quick release. Overall, he's also good on the rush too. He's fast. He's elusive, and he's really good stick handler. So I think he's going to be fun to watch. He's sort of similar to Tyler Ward in terms of the style of game.
I was also going to ask maybe a guy to compare him to, just in terms of, you know, size and kind of the way you talk, kind of a gritty player. Maybe Will Margel too.
I think he's a very good player. I think he's more of a pure shooter, if you will. He's more of a pure goal scorer. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jake, he's a good, very good goal scorer, but he works hard to earn a lot of the goals in and around the net. But he is capable of having breakout goals as well. So he's fast and elusive.
A much needed presence, perhaps, for UNH. Moving on, we got Morgan Winters next on the list. He is currently, so I'll save you a little work here, Mike. He's currently with the Omaha Lancers in the USHL, 26 points, excuse me, in 37 games played. What do we look at here, Mike?
He's one of the few of the 10 that we're going to end up talking about, the 10 commits who've signed a national letter of intent. Now, I actually saw a play when he was at one of the prep schools in New England prep school. For some reason, I'm blanking on
Tabor. Yeah.
Yeah. I went after Damian Carfagna committed to play for UNH. He was playing for the Lawrence Academy team. So I went up to watch one of his games, and Morgan Winters was playing on Tabor at the same time. So I've had a chance to see him play a couple years ago, but I've also watched some video of him. I think he's a good all-around player, as his stats show. I mean, he can score some goals. He's a good assist guy. Three of his goals came on the power play this year so far. And he said two game winners, which is always nice. I mean, I would describe him as fast, quick, and agile. And he's also good at finding open spaces in the offensive zone.
Do you look at him as maybe more of like a depth piece for this team going forward? Because looking at like the star ratings, he's the lowest out of the 10.
Yeah, I think that's that rating. I would say he's warrants a 3.75 for whatever that's worth, but just because he's really stepped up his play this year in the United States Hockey League, which is the most challenging junior league in North America to play. But yeah, he's not going to move beyond the first or second line this freshman year for sure. But he's a guy who's on an upward trend in terms of his improvement.
Obviously, we're kind of going back a little bit, but what have you seen change in his game from the time you saw him at Tabor to now?
He's a bigger kid.
I've heard a little bit about a thing called puberty, actually. Yeah.
He was sort of smaller, even smaller than, you know, some of the other prep school guys he was competing against. But he was really quick and crafty in the offensive zone. So he still has those abilities, but now he's got a little bit more size. And he's had the experience of playing with some of the top junior players in the country over the last year. So I think he's on an upward trend. He's from Osprey, Florida, as it turned out, and he ended up at Tabor Academy and then on the USHL.
Bit of an odd trajectory there.
Yeah.
On to the final one of the five, Tyler Muzelik. Muzelik. Look, man, I'm bad with names.
Not as bad as me.
Oh, that's true. So would you say it's fair he's the highest pedigree player, Mike? Because he's been on the United States U-17 and U-18 national teams these last two seasons.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he's the first goalie who played for the United States National Team Development Program to come to UNH.
Wow.
So that's unique. And that program, the National Team Development Program, has had a long list of terrific goalies, guys like Spencer Knight and Thatcher Demko. I think Drew Camuso from BU, he was from the National Team Development Program. They also are known for having first round draft picks all last year.
That would be nice.
Yeah. There were four number one draft picks, first rounders that came from that program. So it's an elite program. They pick the very best American born players and they develop them into to play nationally, as well as they also play in the United States Hockey League, and they also play against NCAA teams, which right. is an interesting point about Tyler Muzelik. Let's see. I got to see him play actually when the under 18 team came to play Boston University. I think it was in December. So I went down to watch.
That's right. Yeah, they had that exhibition game.
Oh my God! Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they he ended, as it turned out, they played a total of 11 exhibition games against NCAA teams, most of whom were Division I teams. And Tyler Muzelik, he earned a win against a variety of pretty impressive teams. He beat Notre Dame, Michigan Tech, Mercyhurst. He won the BU game. He was in goal for the win. Providence, North Dakota as well. So you got to realize this guy is 17 years old playing against Division I, some of the top teams, and he ended up earning the win in a number of those games. So that makes him unique. He also... competing in the United States Hockey League, most of the players there are 18, 19, 20 years old. So he's at this level, as of right now, he certainly is one of the top goalies in his age group in the country.
Yeah, I was going to say, looking at his stats, they don't exactly jump off the page at you, but I think that this is one of the guys that stats, you know, don't tell the whole story. As Mike, you mentioned, he's, you know, at least 2 years younger than most of the guys he's playing with, going up against the top competition at his age in the entire country. And he's already seen Division I talent. He's proved that he can play against and beat, you know, some of the top teams in the country. Providence was top 20. North Dakota was great this year. So I think this year, obviously, if he comes, he'll be battling for that starter job with Fessenden. But I think the following 3 years, this is, you know, going to be UNH's starter.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Mike. Do you think he should see the ice, or do you think they should let him have a little more time to maybe marinate?
Oh, I think that I think he has the potential to be the next All-American for UNH. UNH has had in recent years they've had four All-American goalies. The most recent one, the last one, was Brian Foster back in 2010, and they had Kevin Regan in 2008. Mike Ayers, who's now the associate coach at Boston College, in 2003. And of course, Tyler Conklin was All-American twice in 2000, 2001, and he's been the goalie coach for UNH the last couple of years.
So you're saying we'll see Tyler as the goalie coach in 2050-ish?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think the thing that those four All-American goalies have in common is that they were playing for UNH in the most recent heydays, when UNH was making the NCAA tournament pretty much every year, made the Frozen Four a couple of times. Tyler has the potential to be that type of goalie. I have no idea what the coaches are thinking about how much they'll use him. Mm-hmm. But another factor to consider is that right now he's ranked highly for the upcoming NHL entry draft, this coming up in June. He's ranked as the fifth best North American goalie for the upcoming draft. So it's highly likely that he'll end up being drafted by somebody in June. Someone with this, the other thing is that I'm assuming they certainly have seen him play. When you see him play, I mean, I'm not a goalie expert by any means, but his technique looks to be really, really solid. Scouts who have seen him have described him as having great skating ability. His best strength is that he's amazing at maintaining his balance as he's making saves, whether he's going, you know, back and forth across the crease. I've watched this, the top part of his body is always perpendicular to the ice. He's also really good with his stick on low shots. He's the full package in terms of his skills. I think he will split time with David Fessenden. The amount of how they'll split them up, who knows? You guys would know as much as I do in terms of Coach Sousa's, how he uses his goalies and how he decides, you know, when to switch up from time to time.
And get ready for the best of Tyler Muzelik is pretty darn good.
Yeah, oh boy, use that quote over and over.
Yeah, so if UNH is going to get back to being a top competitor in Hockey East, getting to the Hockey East tournament and making it to the NCAA tournament, they're going to need someone who is an elite goalie. And I think that Muzelik has the potential to be that guy.
So kind of carrying off what you were saying about the draft, Andrew, I think you saw he was mocked where? 200s?
Yeah, like late seventh round. I mean, it's really difficult to project a seven round draft. I mean, he's going to get drafted at some point this year. This draft has him going 221st to Tampa Bay. But then again, it's just like,
right. Maybe an idea.
This website is one of the only website that projects all seven rounds, and they basically have a new version of it every single day. So, I mean, I don't know how you know, it's trustworthy, but it's not, it's just, you don't know.
Right.
But
most rounds he's going around the seventh.
Yeah.
So we'll see, I suppose. Kind of wrap this up, Mike, which of these four or five, excuse me, do you think are going to make the most immediate impact on the team next year?
Of these five, I would say Kristoff Skrastin. If he gets opportunities to score some goals, full strength or on the power play, he's probably going to score a few. And he could score, you know, more than a few. He has the potential to do that. And the other one, I think, also Tyler Muzelik, we always spoke about him. I think he'll have a major impact. Jake Dunlap, keep an eye on him. He's a hardworking kid. And he, as I say, his strengths is in the area that the coaches are looking for, which is in and around the net, crashing the net, finding open spaces and scoring those dirty goals, as Coach Sousa described them.
And I will say, I think that with the amount of seniors that left this year and, you know, new guys coming in, there's going to be a lot of competition in, you know, I guess, I don't know if they specifically call it training camp, but, you know, their preseason skates. And I think that it's going to push everybody. And, you know, that opening day lineup is certainly going to be, you know, who really impressed Coach Sousa, you know, the few couple weeks leading up to the season.
Right. And then we'll just end it with this, Mike. So you've talked with all these players, correct? Even if it's just over email?
Yes. When a player does verbally commit to UNH, I, at some point after that, I usually reach out to them to offer an email interview and a feature article, just so that the UNH fans can get a sense of their background, what their strengths are, why they chose UNH, that kind of thing.
Which of them has impressed you the most, just with their answers or just as a person, I suppose?
Well, that's a good question. All of them are very and that's been in the 11 years I've been doing it. I've been impressed with that, with all of them. They're very well-spoken guys, and they're frank about their own strengths and weaknesses. In terms of people I've seen interviewed in live or on, you know, on tape or on video, Tyler Musilik obviously is a very poised, well-spoken guy. Those are the only ones that I've actually seen in person, but in writing, they're all very well-spoken. So.
Really quick before we want to wrap this up, I was scrolling through the USCHO. It's more of a fan forum. I know that, you know, these are not guys directly reporting on the team, but I was kind of making my own mock lineup for what next year might be. And I was looking at this, doesn't have a name on it, but this guy's mock lineup too, pretty similar to what I had. So Mike, I want to read this off to you and just kind of get your opinion on it for the last thing of the show. So first line, Chase Stevenson centering Markell and Cronin. Second line, Blaisdell centering Devlin and Caffarelli. Third line, now again, he basically threw most of the guys, the 10 NLI guys in here. So, you know, some of these guys might not even be on the team next year. Sardarian centering Black and Leclerc. And then the fourth line was Winters centering Dunlap and Scrastins. And then on the back end, a lot more, you know, we kind of know what we're getting. Heward and Erickson, Gagne and Reed, Jensen, and then the sixth defenseman, he had Carfagna, but I assume you could throw Babbage in there too if you want to, and then Musilik, Fessenden, and Foreman for the goalies.
Yeah, that's I think that those are excellent guesses about who will be in those lines. I can't remember each one of them that you said, but I think one of the key ones, one of the ones that's hardest to predict is who's going to play center.
Right.
A lot of the guys that come in have played center in junior hockey, and for a variety of reasons, they don't have what it takes to succeed at the center position at the college level. So that's one that I would keep an eye on. I certainly agree that, you know, Blaisdell and Stevenson, with their experience at center, being able to play at all three ends, that there certainly will be up in one of probably the top two lines. Who knows? I would say by the time January rolls around, you're gonna see a few of these freshmen being major contributors. Very much the same this year. I mean, you think about the freshmen, how productive they were this year, and jump right up to some of the top lines early on in the year too. So I think the coaching staff has shown a willingness to play freshmen, depending on how well the freshmen play. They certainly got to get their opportunities to play.
Well, I think that'll do it for today, at least. We will be back next week with Mike, hopefully to discuss the last five.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you very much for your time. It has been an absolute incredible.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been great
episode.
Hey, thanks so much. I look forward to next week.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thanks again, Mike.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will be back next week.